The divine grace is confound the tongue, A.C. Bhaktivinoda, Swami the Prabhupada. All glories, all glories to the Supreme Lord. All glories, all glories to the Supreme Lord. All glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Narayana, Namaskrita, Narantara, Gandharakta, Evam Sarasati, Vyasam, the Todayam, Hurirayam. Nasta prayesu patresu nityam bhagavata sevayam bhagavati yutam asokya bhakti bhavati nishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, continuation, Chapter 14, text number 43, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Api,
Api,
Swit,
Swit,
Paya,
Paya,
Bhukta,
Bhukta,
Swam,
Swam,
Sangbhogyan,
Sangbhogyan,
Vidha,
Vidha,
Palakan,
Palakan,
Jugupsitam,
Jugupsitam,
Kama,
Kama,
Kinche,
Kinche,
Vidhavan,
Vidhavan,
Na,
Na,
Ya,
Ya,
Akshama,
Akshama,
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Sambhojam Virabalakam
Sambhojam Virabalakam
Yusittam Kamakinche
Yusittam Kamakinche
Kvittavanaya Akshamam
Kvittavanaya Akshamam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Sambhoyam Virabalakam
Sambhoyam Virabalakam
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Vidavanaya Akshamam
Vidavanaya Akshamam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Sambhoyam Virabalakam
Sambhoyam Virabalakam
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Vidavanaya Akshamam
Vidavanaya Akshamam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Api Svipaya Bhuntastvam
Sambhojam Virabalakam
Sambhojam Virabalakam
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Jujusittam Kamakinche
Sambhojam Virabalakam
Jujutsu kinchit kritanaya rakshamam
apisvit
apisvit.
If it were so that,
if it were so that,
varya
varya,
by leaving aside,
by leaving aside,
bhuntaha
bhuntaha,
have dined,
tvam
tvam,
yourself
yourself, sambodhyam
sambodhyam,
deserving to dine together,
deserving to dine together,
ritha
ritha,
the old man,
the old man,
balakan
balakan,
boys
boys,
jujuksitam
jujuksitam,
abominable
abominable,
karma
karma,
action
action,
kinchit
kinchit,
something
something,
vittavan
vittavan,
you must have done,
you must have done,
na
na
na,
yat
yat, that which akshama
akshama,
unpardonable
unpardonable.
Translation: have you not taken care of the old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? The question: have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? So, inquiry is still going on here by minister. You have to make, have you not taken care of old men?
Have you not taken care of old men?
And boys?
And boys.
Who deserve to dine with you?
Who deserve to dine with you?
I'm just trying to find out from my parents what's up. Have you left them?
Have you left them?
And taken your meals alone?
And taken your meals alone.
Have you committed some unpardonable?
Have you committed some unpardonable?
Mistake?
Mistake.
Which is considered to be abominable.
Which is considered to be abominable.
Report. It is the duty of a householder to feed first all the children, the old members of the family, the brahmanas, and the invalids. We assume in that order. It's the duty of the householders to feed first of all the children, the old members, the elderly, old members of the family, the brahmanas, and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man, to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He is required to call for such a hungry man three times on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. So, Prabhupada is explaining what ideal householder is. So before one eats their meals, that they not only seem interesting, not only seem that the children are taken care of, and the elderly, Brahmins, invalids, but even those that they don't even know. If you call out three times, see if there's anyone in the area who is in need of food. Even though this may be an unknown person, unknown hungry man, you come and dine before the householder himself dies. So, interesting, because sometimes we wait till the guest leaves and then it's okay to leave. Good. Are they gone yet? And the kids are even trained up. Mommy, are they gone yet?
as we invite somebody over, make sure that they've already eaten before they come. You can come after lunch. So, Sri Prabhupada explains that this is not ideal. That one should do what? One, I have a letter book for you. Two letters. Because I think this is a very profound subject matter. In communities, you see that communities basically means families. And so we want to find out how do we come as close as possible to the ideal, to understanding what the ideal is, and perhaps even becoming that. So, for many things are here to consider. First, we consider that a proper householder, voting householder, is always in the spirit of thinking, so my family, that is my griha, it is to enhance my ability to preach, to enhance my ability to serve, to enhance my ability to be able to be a provider. That my household life is designed for myself and my partner to be team players and remind each other about the goal as we act on that goal and how we make our life and our assets and arrangements for glorification of the Lord. So, children to be considered first are children in an environment that are not taken care of. The elderly, are they taken care of? Brahmanas, and they need to be concerned about even strangers. So, you see, how can one do that? It's hard enough for one taking care of themselves. Almost impossible, so why are we being asked to be concerned with all these things? I was in Atlanta when I came back to South Africa. I stopped here first. I started visiting with some household couple. And I was impressed how, even though they did not have so much fun, they were struggling, but they were concerned about the temple, concerned about the body. So regularly, they would arrange for some service to some of the very, there's only a few, maybe two or three, very, very strict, hardworking, kind of selfless brahmacharis. So they were noticing, oh, this brahmachari is wearing the same pair of shoes for 5 years. One dhoti is falling apart, older than, or two dhoti. And so, from time to time, they would just take it as part of their service, just to send over a pair of shoes, go buy a pair of shoes. Or they went to India, they would build it, and give it to the brahmachari cook, brahmachari growing service. But the whole, this is very nice. That they could find so many justifications for just considering, well, that's the temple, they're concerned, why thought the brahmachari is supposed to be austere. But how much it was helping their own life, as this was their mentality. How much it was actually helping to enhance the sweetness of their own relationship, the husband and wife, as husband and wife. And how much it was helping them, as they were struggling in their money-making activities, to feel less distraught by the whole affair, because they were being able to reciprocate in some way that was enhancing for service standards. Now what's interesting, sometimes we go to India, maybe we go to Vrindavan, we meet people, we meet, you know, real Vrindavasis. We meet some people in Vrindavasi consciousness. And it's not that most of them are renunciates. They're renounced, but they're not sannyasis or anupasis or whatever. But they're grahastis. And in many cases, actually quite poor. But not really. One, because they didn't let that actually an obstacle to them. Two, because they are grihasthis and not grihaminis, that they're always enthused to receive gifts, always enthused to share. You may only have a few, you know, beans in the house, dal, make some dal, to make some little stuff, you make some chapati, but they'll be so excited, whatever little they have, actually deserve it, to share it to someone else. Now because of that, one, even though they have very little, they are very happy. And two, because this is their mentality, somehow Krishna always reigns. We have that move that I don't have enough for myself, or I haven't achieved what I expect. Let me become rich, let me become wealthy, let me become secure, let me become stable, let me become like this, and then I will do something. It never happens. When it does happen, we'll never really receive proper realization, understanding from that. Because we don't wait until Krishna does something that we think that should happen before we decide to serve him and think that that's devotional service and Krishna is going to reciprocate. We're discussing last night with some of the devotees about the Institute House, and we're just looking at certain complexities in the spiritual life. And one of those was, of course, the economic factor. That everyone is in anxiety based on trying to acquire some finance. That's all part of the material life. Whether we're in anxiety, and we're trying to see how we can get this money to do this project, whether we're in anxiety about how to take care of certain needs, that is it. Whether one is in anxiety because they have so much money and they're not so sure how they're going to keep it, how they're going to invest it, who's going to take it. Or somebody in anxiety because things are going pretty good for them now, but they're not sure that's going to continue. Or they're in anxiety because they can't cover their debts, because they have no money, etc. Nobody's in anxiety. There's nothing new about that. Nothing new about being strung out financially. That was going to go on quite a journey. And the Vaishnava is thinking, Baba explained that one gives money, he's thinking, the next thing is going in the sense that he's already got ideas of how to use it. And glorify the Lord. So there's nothing new about being in anxiety. You go around the room. Who's in anxiety about finance? Anybody. They want to raise their hand. Very happy in one race. Because but because of anxiety, we decide not to believe in Krishna anymore. Because with anxiety, we decide to be simple and to make money. Sometimes the devotees do like that. That simple money will be a great disaster for their existence. Even that's a good project, so we bought in money simply, and that simple money is a curse. You get legal problems, you get disease, you get so much mismanagement. How come some of that simple money? Or you get the money, but it just doesn't seem to do what you expected. So then, as you can see, you have a small amount, and it does something wonderful. You have a lot, and somehow it just goes. It's quite an interesting phenomenon, because it's so much more based unconscious than we remember. So this Vrindavasi spirit, one never waits until somehow you have something very, very grand to be able to serve and share. But they are thinking opportunity to serve. And they use it. They act upon it. And they're actually happy. Even though also there's still only anxiety there because one never has enough. But it's not the anxiety of being depressed not the anxiety of feeling lonely, alienated, uncared for, not the anxiety of being angry. Why am I seeing so rich people this and that, being envious and thinking, I should have, I deserve it even more. Or why are Christians simply not fair anymore? That is part. So this conception of I'm having something and I'm a caretaker. Though I'm a caretaker, anything to be caretaker is futile. No problem. Let me see how we use it to push yourself. Often, having to caretaker some many things is even a greater headache. Some time back, I was mentioning how I wanted to get this big preaching center in North Carolina or South Carolina. Do you remember, was it North Carolina or South Carolina? The house we had in South Carolina? And the Indian family had built a nice house. They walked into the room, right on the spring, on the river, swimming pool, never used it, but they were. And, you know, so many rooms, so much instead of them. And at first it was like an exciting idea, big place to use for preaching. And then one after one worries at me. You've got to keep this place clean. Then I remember once doing an interview. And the interview was so incoherent. Because it's like the guy was just being disturbed or being envious by the house, and there was lack of proper communication. But sometimes we so much want something like this, something we think is wonderful, really, and this becomes more headaches, more things to fix, more things to worry about, more things to prepare, more things to arrange, more things to clean, more anxiety. But however, if something you can use for preaching, then it takes on a certain potency. We weren't so satisfied because we had the place, but we couldn't preach to the degree that we wanted to. So after a while, this encounter, it wasn't so wonderful. That big place, and it's not like people coming in, so many wonderful chances to use it. So better to have a little hut and have many people come. Of course, we see Prabhupada built big Bombay and places like that, which will accommodate preaching. But if the preaching isn't there, then it becomes the opposite. Because to have something, facility, and not really to align it with preaching use, it becomes an unpardonable situation. I would say the neglect of the prescribed duties of a household, especially in the matter of old men and children, is unpardonable. Meaning that there are serious consequences. There's consequence to be a householder and to have things and not to see that it's being used in preaching. It means then, the more you're acquiring, the more you're entangling yourself in the guise of trying to acquire and to have certain things. Better that you don't have and don't preach than to have and not to use it. Either case is unfortunate, but better not to have. Because then at least you're not experiencing an unpardonable situation. But to have and not to use for service, then that becomes the dark will. That is me, I'm able. Because then there's not, you know, there is based on self-centeredness. We see how Srila Prabhupada's, said you see the Prabhupada's theory. And we remember Prabhupada explaining himself about his family, he was very young. His father used to invite sadhus over. He would feed them. Wasn't that they were rich, and so they didn't have anything else to do, but he decided to give her some excess money. And because of that, we see how their life was very devotional, how blessings came to everyone, the whole family, by such. You see, this is such a part of Vedic culture. to catch up with the blessings, the use we have in appreciating them, the glorifying service and sadness. See, sometimes devotees have that and it becomes so enlightening for them, even though they're struggling. It's like, excuse me for being talking to the name, but I like it anyway. Like Baladev, he's so nice that he gets excited by certain sadness. And so he's even thinking, I'm not even working hard, he's got to pay this bill, he's got to build, there's so much overhead, and so much debt. But to know that some of his assets can be used for serving sadness, he's enlightened. And so it helps create some balance, even though there's anxiety with just day-to-day affairs, or just with relationships. We all have problems sometimes, with husband and wife, children, etc. But then there is that meaning that helps to keep one from that so-called dark will that sometimes referred to as we look at Grihamini existence. The Prabhupada was very much glorifying his grihasthas who were in that renounced preaching spirit. We read a few letters, taking care of their prescribed duties. But their basic concern was preaching, in that sense. So much maintenance is there, no question. So we see also in the case of Narada Muni, how his mother, being maid servant, receiving and taking care of the Bhaktivedantas, the sadhus, great devotees, and the blessings that were associated with giving up the sadhu, receiving, using that environment in such a way to be able to serve. Drupadi, Dhritarashtra was sitting, Dhritarashtra Muni and his entourage, the idea to send them the time that they would not be fed and there would be a great curse. So here we see, again, the importance of receiving and serving, and that even it is so inauspicious to have someone come and not to be a proper host. Like it's very difficult. We want to thank the devotees so much every time there's a retreat, a conference, a festival. It's difficult. And trying to accommodate guests. Many of you work in the kitchen so many hours, doing things like doing so many things. So it is difficult. And sometimes while the big festivals and things are going on, everyone's enjoying, you're having to work hard and can't even participate. And even you can't even hear the class or hear other things sometimes. And so one can just cry out. But if we understand that actually such person really going to advance more from that experience than those who are externally enjoying the experience. Because they're going to develop more virtuousness of bhakti from being a servant of the servant than those who are just enjoying the visual or the hearing experience. Not that you shouldn't have both. You shouldn't hear, but you should be. But to be the son of the servant, you help provide so others can be able to experience low in the heart, if notice of that. If we don't want to relegate that some people can never hear, because then those become some kind of workaholics, and although they may have a chance to grow, the anxiety and the anger from that, they may lose it. And not be able to sufficiently benefit. We also want to be greedy so that we can advance on many levels, and so we want to take advantage of having that opportunity ourselves to be able to be the servant of the servant. So someone else experienced and we go on the back to do the necessary. So Drupadi, of course, she was
completely embarrassed.
That here Vibhasa Muni has come and come with all of these feathers, and there is no nothing to do. And Baba made Mataji. He's completely there. And of course we know the story how this intensity, she actually did what? She took shelter of Krishna. She wasn't angry that why these people coming on me like this. Or just tell them, oh, it's good to see you guys. Where are you on your way to? But she knew that it was her duty to serve them, offer them something. Because she didn't have anything, she didn't tell them anything. So she called them Krishna, wanting to be able to fulfill this chance to serve. Then Krishna appeared. And then he wanted something. Again, showing the importance of being received. Offering and receiving, taking it to God. Now, how truly devastating. But there was more so the side on that. So that was given to Krishna. Also showing us that you may not have much, but somehow you actually can offer that to Krishna. Then even though it does something seemingly insignificant, Krishna is satisfied, then there is extreme auspiciousness. So she had the right attitude, she didn't have facility, but with that attitude she remained fixed. Krishna appeared, she gave Krishna what she did have, and therefore he was satisfied, and then Vibhasa Muni, and of course all of the his chelas, disciples, they were satisfied. And so a miracle took place. So we are reading these stories to understand what is ideal farm, what is ideal ashram, and how this thing works. How it works is for spiritual life. How does it work to be spiritual when everything around you is material and you got so many material demands to deal with? You have so many shortages. But here was the shortage. But her attitude was, oh, I want to serve. She wasn't even angry that they'd come. She wasn't feeling imposed upon. She was feeling sad that they've come, many have come, and how much she wanted to serve them all. And was not in a position to serve them. And then she turned to Krishna. And he wanted, she gave him. And after she gave him, he was satisfied. And by the fact that he was satisfied, then an inauspicious situation became auspicious. So sometimes we have problems in our family life as devotees because we're not being grahastas. We're being grihaminis. We come together and our whole mentality is just about our maintenance and our survival. And we cheat ourselves because our maintenance and ultimate survival is based on how we use the ashram that Krishna has given us. And if we do, then he, having no favor, he will also intervene, he will interfere. He will assist. Like he assists for Rupa Goswami. And he wanted to make a nice offering, you know, for his brother. He's a nothing. So here she wants to ride around here herself. She appears and brings Boga so that the nothing could be able to serve. The one can become so eager to receive, have so little, but want to serve, that even the mother of service, mother of devotion, that she will intervene herself on behalf to see that such service can go on. We probably receive and take care of the son. He said, well, I should go on. And that's, you know, he's broken. and asking the Father, like, Father, what is your will? Yeah, but why are they in this with your will? To show us what is to be done in spite of material incarceration. To show us what is to be done based on how we maintain loyalty to the selflessness, to service. And we can really be the Das of the Das. We look at their examples and see, okay. That even these great devotees, they come into the material world and they are impoverished. They are having their bereft, they have little. But what do they do? They share. So many times when perhaps people are inviting Lord Chaitanya over for his assistance, wouldn't that they have so much? They don't have to struggle like anything. Be able to put a feast together for a few. And then, it was a great endeavor. It was an endeavor that they were eager to do. I guarantee you, you find a grihasthi who doesn't have much, but who is eager to serve others. One, you'll find that a certain happiness they have, and you'll find that somehow Krishna constantly brings them out of difficulties. Because their consciousness is so much thinking, how can we be able to be proper devotees? In any facility, if we're at the facility, we're thinking, how can I get this for me? There's going to be complexity in getting it. When we get it, there's going to be many problems associated with it. But to the degree that we're thinking, how can I have this, do this, do that, so that I can preach, so that I can serve, so that I can be the servant of the servant. Then even if you don't get, you're going to be spiritually stimulated. And when you get, you're going to find that Krishna is going to arrange constantly because of it. There's a consciousness of prosperity. Even communists know you know this. How we bring prosperity. They realize there's something about consciousness that has an effect. We understand the common practice. We understand that there's some people who have a natural karma that likeliness seems to come around them. But you better believe they have paid the price earlier in this life or previous lifetime. You say, any astrologer, you look at sometimes someone who seems too easy to get well, and you'll see that there has been some serious austerities that now is producing. Nothing is by just accident. Or somebody who just constantly, even when opportunity is there, it is somehow they bungle. Because there's a counterstrike, there's a common strike. The previous Joe and I were in Mexico and South America. It's from villages there, so beings and devotees and farms and rural areas. And what is India, Africa? Well, you see people who really live an actual healthy village life. And you'll find that even though they have little, they don't really feel that they have little. Because there's so much using what they have and sharing, having a sense of aggregateness community that they're experiencing, that they experience life. I mean, I had an example in my family life. I have a very, you know, pious mother. And that's kind of unfortunate, much of it. See, because all of these children were all spiritually different, you know, different conditions. We come together, it's a big clash. But she was very spiritual. And I was almost a teenager before I realized how poor we were. I think I was just about ready to go to high school. Because anytime somebody comes to the house, if I had a friend who would come to the house, he had a hole in his shirt. I'd be in anxiety. And my mother would go through the drawer, she would take one of my shirts, would you? Somebody came. And my sister's friends come over, and her shoes were not dyed, Well, she didn't have shoes on. My mother would go get one of my sister's shoes, and she would give it to me. And so I was thinking that maybe we were like kind of okay, well-to-do. Because I said, anything we had, and whenever we eat, she would see that any kids in the yard, any kids in the playground, she hadn't come. Sometimes she would just bake things and just, you know, tell them, take them to your friends, the neighborhood. It turns out, who was he doing? He did. I mean, it's never done to me. We were so poor. And then one day, in the school, the teacher of the math class or something, the teacher asked, all of you go home and ask your parents, what is their income? What is the yearly income? And I remember the day. I found out my family income was $3,000 for the whole year. And I brought the income in, and I was like shocked. I had the lowest income in the whole room. I was totally shocked. And I realized, we are poor. But I never realized it. And believe it or not, we never went one day with anything needed. I mean, I remember seeing the days that printer was just about empty cabinet, but somehow food would come. Because he had that move that, well, we have something, and as to be godly, it means to be concerned about people. And he got to the point that, I mean, we, you know, we weren't, it's just children, we can't even appreciate it. Because we would think, oh, this is too much, I was giving our stuff away. Even that would be new stuff, huh? Christmas come with something, we had some three or a couple of toys. You think that other kid didn't get some toys? She's still, you know, you get that to her. Oh my God! I've been playing with it for 3 days now. Like that. You bring somebody home, the home, and you home, and you put another shirt. Something like that. Hold on a minute. You got another t-shirt? God, we know she was gonna give on us now. That's the conscience of prosperity. Because if you did like that, then things would come. I got ready to go to college. Had no money at all. Then somehow, by that kind of karma, I got a full scholarship. I got, you know, a string. I got a scholarship, fourth time in Princeton. I got money for buying clothes. I got money for going for vacation. It was like, even the Furniture aid was shot. They arranged all that. I'd have to work one day. And I had money even to go on vacation. And when I was in school, I could like send money to my mother because I had like extra money. It was amazing. I was nice. Because of the karmic factor of thinking how to serve and help people. When I got ready when I graduated, and I was at a dilemma that I wanted to be a devotee, but I was also thinking, nobody in my family went to college. My mother, you know, is now probably in invalid. She's got diabetes, heart patient. Even though you would never know it. My mother's like very sickly, but she's active. In this last few years, she stopped doing volunteer work. You know, she had no money. She was volunteering, she's active. And now because she has serious heart problems. And it's a problem. My biggest problem is trying to kind of cool her down. She's always trying to go places, helping me to do that. So, it actually even works even more if you say for Vaishnavas. Prabhupada would have, in the early days, people come, he just cut a little fruit. He would give it to them. What's up? So he wasn't thinking, well, we're so poor, we have so little, you know, we gotta save this. He didn't even know how they're gonna pay the rent the next month. But he was even disturbed when people came. And we did not offer them some of this stuff. Because if we do like that, then we'll see that it brings prosperity. We try to serve and just see that we're using something. And then we're not experiencing the karmic reactions from the material things that we have to move through, deal with, etc. I have an example right now in Washington. One of our devotees who makes the biggest amount of money, like any of our devotees, is actually one of the most selfless. I have a problem with him sometimes. Anytime he finds somebody in distress, he says, let him come live with me. Yes, that's his move. So because of that move, There will always be certain assets. Lakshmi will be there. Some opulence will be there because of that kind of mood of selflessness. It seems to, in the material sense, it would seem to be the opposite. It would seem that unless you really care about you, nobody will care about you. But it's not really like that. The first, when you act like that, it means you're faithless. You don't have much faith. And it means that you don't understand the life of a Vaishnava. Because you don't see a genuine Vaishnava acting like that. And we don't see that genuine Vaishnava instruct others to act in that way. You don't have to be foolish unless you take advantage of it. But a devotee, a Vaishnava, is eager to serve and feels completely lost if they're not able to serve. So Prabhupada explained what is ideal. Also, I had an interesting experience some years back. I'll just mention this and I'll go right to the meeting. I'll have to explain it later. I had an interesting experience sometimes with some extraterrestrials. They have some unusual things happening now up there. And so there was a group of what's called extraterrestrial walkers. So I went to visit with them. I went to see, because I was interested, I was also doing a little research. I wanted to understand a little bit about what category were they in. There's all types. About the Dante, 820,000 different species. And every place there is money. There's all kind of unusual things going on the planet right now. So I was kind of curious that these pious implants, where I found that they were implants. How many of you felt that you should have did something else with the money? How many of you felt you should have had it free? So, okay, everybody raise their hand. One or two of us, you tell what? Everything has some price. Come to some workshop or lecture, basically. Sometimes you figure the best. So what they did is that the few people who had no complaints of feeling that they should not have been charged or that they were charged too much, told them to say anything, they gave them the money back. And the others, some of them, they said, we should pay more. Now the idea was that, and most they just kept the money. But the point was showing that the fact that it's not such an uptight thing for you is that you're the kind of, your conscience, the kind of conscience that's going to bring you prosperity. And therefore, we should pay you, or we should give you your money back, because you are actually a gift to the discussion. And therefore, those who didn't feel uptight about the situation, they just gave full money. That's all it is. Because that is a spiritual situation, is that Krishna said, as we surrender unto him, he rewards. He said he rewards accordingly. Eight amanta five. Tam shadi mata. Amanda vasati. Manusha hartha sarvasha. That he said, he himself. Krishna tells us himself what he does. We worship him with devotion, dedication, proper commitment. He will give us the knowledge. How to come on to him. Now is he bluffing? Or is that what he does? So he's not a bluffer. So if somehow, if we have greater faith and act upon that, we will see the results of that faith. And we don't have greater faith, we will struggle so much, and at the end of the day, we still will not be happy. Whatever we have, we should try to see somehow how to use that in some way of service. And not even being admitting to the Lord that he hasn't done his part. We should always be agitating our minds and trying to see how we can serve better. So therefore, we agitate our minds how we can get more facility in whatever it is. With the idea so that we can offer that more to Krishna. So we don't just, we're not in person, so we're not in denial So everything is okay. And, you know, we are out of lots of people with the lights and providing agriculture equipment, and you have money to take care of your family or this part of my problem. No. These are things that we have responsibility to deal with. But if our conscience is only about those responsibilities, one, you're going to continue to be regret, and even when you do get something, you're going to be very unhappy. It's not going to produce the results of what you expect. Here's a few points on Srila Prabhupada. Maybe one lesson for that kind of everything else stuff. In a community also, healthy community of self-sufficiency or moving that way, is that individuals themselves are responsible. You know, you don't have situations that are healthy where some people are not responsible, you are responsible. But responsible in a mood of caring. For instance, in a healthy community, if somebody is in distress, that person shouldn't demand or think that others are supposed to help, but others should think that they're supposed to help. That makes any sense. Is that one should think, okay, now I'm sick, I'm in distress, I have no money, I have to have that. Why don't they all help me? One should not think that way. But members of the community should think that way. They should think somebody is in need. How can we help? And then when there is such situations, then whatever we have, there is some ability to help, to share, etc. When someone is thinking that people owe me something, it will simply be a failure. There will simply be a parasite, and that kind of consciousness will simply bring constant poverty to the rest. But there should be an inherent mechanism, especially when there is emergency, that one should not just be on their own. So we see that families here, and you know, very few of any kind have insurance, maybe some of them. So, somebody has some accident. One of our kids, an accident. Now, if we are a community, we may not also have much. But if we don't think that it is our duty to try to come to help in that situation, then it's surely still open. There's some situations that can be beyond our control. It can happen to anyone. Not that the individual should expect, but the community didn't expect to be able to assist themselves. We may not have much, but even just the small offerings is an experience of devotion that brings auspiciousness, particularly for the giver, even more than for the person who receives. A few short letters from Srila Prabhupada. About this is a section from the Prabhupada Kiksamrita, Grihastha Ashram, duties of husband and wife. You say, well, what about the duties of the renounce? What are they supposed to help us? If we are proper renunciates, then if there is an emergency also, then it becomes our duty to be brokers. It would be totally improper. Somebody who calls himself leader of the community, and there are some emergencies. Now that the person should think and expect, but there are some emergencies, and that person is just left to suffer if they are part of the community. So if the community members themselves are not able, then it should be incumbent upon leadership. They should find some way to broker, to get others, but find some way themselves to go out and to borrow and to beg and to make a bill. But now if we have the mentality that this is supposed to happen, every time we get a little bit economically strung out, which is most of the time, somebody will do something, we simply will be a failure. Anybody in this community has an operation, anybody in this community is about to lose something that you acquired, in terms of you trying to build now, you go to some problem, Right now you're about to lose, you got a few more payments, you're about to lose your land, lose your house. There should be some effort in trying to help. And the community doesn't, there should be some effort on the leader to see that that particular person is. Otherwise, what's the need for community? We come together because we're trying to see how to minimize difficulties so we can all go on spiritually and struggle enthusiastically in the spiritual mind. Struggling is good. Like a couple of cases of devotees or bringing forth babies. And so we don't encourage them to think that, okay, renouncing the guru is supposed to help pay for your baby. When we see that there's a situation where they've tried this and tried that and there's not enough money, then it becomes a renouncing duty. Because without offering protection, without some serious security, social, psychologically, materially, spiritually, then leadership is a joke and community is a joke. I've had several cases in Africa and even here, where someone has been found in a family situation, didn't have enough money for being with the baby or whatnot. We arranged to borrow something, give to them, and then they give back. They can't give back the difference. But that should be there. People have to have a certain amount of some, they have to be accountable, they have to be a certain amount of security in order for a healthy spiritual community to exist. If we look at Rana Shanam, we see that this was an integral part of leadership. That there was protection. And that facilities were there. But in Kali Yuga, people demand their rights. This is a failure. Was a demand. I gave $500,000 in the second time. Huh? Now, people didn't give me something. It was a good feeling. What you did that as a service. That was a young man. And you did that if you were offering that to Krishna or to a project connected. And so that's you. That's part of your spiritual right now. If people had that mentality, I gave this now, somebody should give me, it's a good feeling. It's not going to happen. So they have the idea that I have a chance to serve, and now unfortunately I don't have certain facilities so I can serve this way, that way. Therefore let me position my life so I can be able to serve better. So I have to try this thing, that thing. Even if you're in the secular world, you have to be thinking all kinds of ways how to make some money. Why do we think when you come to Krishna, somehow we're not going to have to figure out some ways? But we should not be like materialists, and when you're down, people ignore you. Or how when you get sick, and the boss tells you, if you can't come back, you lost the job, finished. Or you get sick and the insurance company find a way to give you a little something and then to action from the policy. You need the most, you're in the greatest state of deprivation, and then it's not there. But that type of security should be there. I was telling the boys last night how I did some of my privileges in some good countries. Begin to see that as president, in some cases there's a mood of everyone under you is kind of peon, and they have problems, you tell them to change Hare Krishna. When you have problems, you go to the best doctor, immediately act upon it. And so I just simply requested, because of my sample source, and that's the problem, that every policy, every one of my BBT men, we know that we take presidents fast. And the mood of that, you are trying to remind yourself that you are servant of those people who are under you. And therefore, that you're concerned about their well-being. And to remind yourself, you're taking this kind of austerity cleansing as a way to constantly remind you that you're to be the caretaker. And not just the dictator who is using people, and then when they need care, you're not taking care of them. And as a way to help the Grihastha community, because there even more is hard to get things because people are poor. So we're explaining, yes. So there are times when there is not money. But when someone in your care who's sick, especially when it comes to bringing forth children, and you say, well, there is no money, then you take that as a priority. If there is no money, then you go out and you collect. You go out and you beg to bring money to that family who is giving their life under your particular regime. So then you analyze that as a priority, if somehow, you know, there's nothing, then it's on you to go out, life members, club members, other devotees, and to help, so that those working under you feel good about what they're doing, or cared for, and everyone is having a higher level of Krishna consciousness, because less Maya than we. People getting distracted by these kind of things. And when it's not there, then you have so many disgruntled people who will try to renounce for a while and feel, what the hell? Why should I renounce? And I'm working every day so hard, and now I need a pair of shoes, and the treasurer tells me there's no money. Wait 3 months later, we can see. And you're thinking, what is this? Even though you're trying to be something, you're thinking, what is this? These people care about me? But he said, there is no money, or there is little money, you have this thing, that thing, and lets you understand the situation, or gives you with the understanding that now we have to try to get some other funds to cover this, but you're feeling that all this person actually cares about. Then that individual Krishna consciousness becomes stronger, and also there's yours. Because there's less aparas, less lack of faith, and then greater aspect of Krishna coming through to the community. We're all going to have up and down times, and so we're not speaking, it's just theoretical. Talking about application. So when these things happen, we'll all see how fast we have a chance to be able to advance, to be able to serve each other. There's a letter Prabhupada sent to the Secretary and Minister of Education and Culture, Government of USSR, Moscow, June 7, 1972. Prabhupada says, we, the above institution, have got our spiritual communism idea. And we want to see that not a single person, man or animal, remains hungry or in want of material necessities of life. According to our philosophy, a householder or substantial citizen of the state has to see not only after the well-being of his wife, children, relatives, and dependents, that they shall be properly taken care of and will not starve, or also even a lizard who lives in the house. He should see that it is not going on. Therefore, to give all facilities of living condition to all divinities is our Krishna conscious movement. Another letter here, Prabhupada. This is a letter of November 1972. To a Mr. Lawyer. Someone probably right. Prabhupada says, I can very much understand your concern. After all, she is your beloved daughter. And you have sacrificed everything just to bring her to the point of proper education. So many things are there between you. But what can I say? In your country, the girls are independent. And from very young age, they're accustomed to mix with young boys. So naturally, there'll be attraction for sex and marriage. Actually, this is the whole material world of money when it's just attraction between men and women. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that once the boy and girl unite intimately, the heart of man is formed. The girl is thinking, oh, without him, I am lost. And the boy is thinking, oh, without her, I am lost. That is Maya of me, keeping us bound tightly in the material atmosphere. If wife is there, then some money must be coming. That means work, land or factory, children, home, friends, community, nation, like that. There is increasing complexity. The illusion of thinking, this is mine, that is mine. They do not know that one day death will kick them out, mercilessly. And neither home, nor wife, nor children, nothing can give him death. All along he is thinking that these things are like soldiers of security to safeguard his happy life. But they are described as fallible soldiers. In the moment of death, there is no one to protect us. We're not prepared for that moment. We shall be struck with fear. We shall not know where we are going, after what kind of body may be forced by nature to take. By this kind of householder life of Grihamedi consciousness, the difference between Grihastha and Grihamedi. Grihamedi consciousness does not apply to our marriage to Krishna. The Father is playing in Bhagavatam here. What is Grihastha like? The selfless move is there of service and accommodation. The context is Grihamedi. I encourage my students to get themselves married. But our point is not that the heart not as above described exists. It is simply a relationship of mutually helping each other, man and wife, to make advancement in spiritual life. Nothing more. We're not after home, money, fame, like that. But that does not mean that he shall not support her nicely. No. It is the duty of the husband to protect the wife in every way from the onslaught of material nature. And he must act always as her spiritual guide by being a perfect example of a devotee. In our Vedic science of living, it is enjoined that the society should be organized in such a way to protect the women, children, old people, and cows. So children have parents. Elderly parents must have grown-up children to protect them. Women must have husbands. It is recommended they should be married at a very early age. Then the wife will always remain chaste. The Baba explains how he was married at 11 years old. This is a letter, December 1974. Now you are raising your third child. So more and more you're becoming responsible for these entities who are your dependents. You must see that they do not take birth again in this mature world. That is your duty. Therefore, you and your good wife must endeavor strongly together to become fully Krishna conscious through this simple, sublime process that I have given. By simply following this process without deviation, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, attending classes and mantra arti, rising early, these things will gradually bring you to the platform of pure love of Krishna. The Prabhupada recognized we have a third child, we have a third child. We have many problems, many hassles, many arrangements for the mature existence, but he's giving them the formula for success, emphasizing they remain chaste, their spiritual principles, and from that there will be auspiciousness and success. April 1978. Regarding, this is a section from Gruhastha Ashram, maintenance and contributions. Regarding jobs for householders, there is no confusion. If your whole time is needed for sankirtan party, there is no need of working in a karmic firm. Actually, all our devotees are supposed to be brahmanas. A brahmana's business is to preach the glories of the Lord, to learn the essence of Vedic knowledge. I was saying all of these should, I suppose, or hopefully should be preachers, no matter what ashram they are. And to teach others of the same knowledge. And for living condition, whatever they get in the form of contribution from others, they can live barely to keep body and soul together and balance spin for Krishna. Father emphasizes that they should expect some austerity, which is balancing. And all these creatures. Hope everything, learned to Shiva Dakshaya, 1970. Hope everything is going well with your family, with the temple, and perhaps you are already in touch with the Bhakti Yatra festival arrangements. Regarding disposing of your business, in order to join our business fully, and just to join our business fully, I am simply thinking of your wife and children. Do you think that without conducting your business, they will be sufficiently provided, provision for upkeep of family? We require personalities like you to join this movement wholeheartedly. But because you have got wife and children, I'm hesitantly to ask you to close your business. The father was very practical. Yes, I want you to join in this way, but are you going to be able to cover your basic responsibilities for your wife and for your children? Okay, last one or two. This is December 8, 1971. As for your question about household life, first of all, who is looking after Oklahoma City? Simple. If you are the president, then what is the use of opening centers you cannot attend all simple functions? What's the sense of trying to make money, opening this, opening that, if you can't do the basic things? Who is looking after temple management? If you are in charge, either you should live there or there is no need for such a temple. I think you should live in the company of devotees. To train them and work with them for distributing our books and magazines and pushing on this Krishna conscious movement. Fourth time. But if there is some difficulty to do this or some problem of getting money, then you should consult further with your GBC man to make adjustments. Preaching is our first class engagement. including Sankirtan party, selling food, speaking like that. But if some reason a devotee is unable to do these things, then I say that they are allowed to live outside and work as a concession. That's one. For the time being, you are the public. It's the last part, the letter where he says. So now you just become convinced yourself of this fact, helping to spread this movement for saving the world. By all conviction and attention. And in this way, you will be performing the highest type of activity, and very soon you will go back home to Godhead. Know this for certain. I have no objection. The last one, Prabhupada says, this is a letter, December 29, 1972. For the time being, you're having a little difficulty. So I think you require the regulated household life that you are suggesting. But unless the basic determination becomes successful and Krishna consciousness is there, any type of occupation or any place where you are serving Krishna will similarly become a source of restlessness and troubling of your mind. Therefore, my advice to you is simply this, that you search out in yourself whether the basic determination and faith in our Krishna conscious program is strong in you. If the faith is not strong, then we can't do these things. We'll do it superficially. We won't get the effects. Therefore, my advice is that you search out in yourself whether the basic determination and faith in our Krishna conscious program. You have to be honest. You really have faith. Whether by going here or going there, or doing this or doing that, this determination of faith will be enhanced. Sometimes Krishna may put us into some difficulty just to purify us and force us to advance in Krishna consciousness. The devotee should always see his difficulty in this life, that Krishna is so kind upon me for creating this condition of struggle, thus he is relieving me of so many billions of lifetimes of sinful activities by this very significant and temporary condition of suffering that I'm experiencing. But for our attachment for Krishna is not yet developed, that is still attracted to ordinary life, household life, together with friends, family, and children working like that, that is all right. But that process, if one contributes something of his income to preaching work and attends himself and family at a temple for the class in kirtan, gradually will get some enthusiasm and develop an attachment for Krishna. So Bhagavad is just looking now. If faith is not sufficient, then one will not be able to catch up, you know, sufficient. Will not do the necessary thing, get the necessary results. But if we keep looking at these examples, we'll see how they were, in many cases, economically impoverished, but did not let it stagnate. Wasn't that Prabhupada's father was so rich that he didn't have money to throw away? Wasn't that Prabhupada when he first came to America with so much assets? And he was still determined that we would accommodate people to serve us out as a major affair. Not that, you know, Drupadi was having so much to give. She didn't have anything. But she wanted to give. Because she wanted Krishna reciprocated. And he himself appeared. Because he was satisfied. And that's the most significant thing. If Krishna is satisfied, then everything is wonderful. If he's not, we can do a lot of things, we can have a lot of things, and those things will just take us to hell. Here Srimati Radharani herself even appears. The Rupa Goswami wants to accommodate, wants to serve, wants to prepare something, wants to offer something to, you know, Srimati Goswami. So Srimati Radharani is attracted. So this is called in by that intensity of devotion. She comes in, and she brings the food stuff that they can make a very grand, he can make a very grand offering, even though he didn't really, receive very much. And Nara has become most famous because of how his mother, such an expert maidservant, now he got the blessings from being in that environment where devotees were being served, taken care of. So any questions or any comments?
Who are very strong in service A and B from the community. And the community could really thrive on service A and B. But the community management or somebody in the community very desperate for service B and E. They think they need to have a service B and E. So they get into a conversation. And the one side is trying to extract service B and E from the household. And they're not asking for anything. They just want to offer service A and B. How does that make it sound?
Very simple. Well, do you have a business? Or do you have a community? Or do you have a coalition of just two or three people? There has to be some mutual understanding of what are the principles that members of that community are to honor. And so as the community makes such things, the community is responsible to be accountable for such things. And so that community, for instance, is a community of making chairs, and somebody wants to come in and they want to make stoves, then it just doesn't fit into that community. And you say, well, can you have a community that is totally inclusive? Impossible. Because there always must be some type of structure and some type of focus. Because when you have a situation that's supposedly totally inclusive, then you just have super life, where you have anything goes based on whatever the mood, whatever the push, whatever the energy is focused in a certain way, you don't really have. You don't really have a community. You have different types of communities, and therefore, the more that it is clear in what is expected, that's why now you have businesses making, you know, mission statements, even families making mission statements, the community making mission statements, so that's clear. Now, in this particular community, this is the mission of what these people are trying to do. I don't feel comfortable with that stuff. Therefore, I don't see myself being an integral part of that. I may visit, but I'm not an integral part of it. In this community, they're saying, so they want to see how as many members as possible can become millionaires. And so you're excited. That kind of mission sounds good. I can be a part of that. Another community is saying they're trying to see how they can become self-sufficient. And it means, in many cases, depriving themselves of certain things, or not making certain things a priority. And so one says, well, okay, I feel comfortable with that. Let me be a part of that. And let me add to that vision and expand upon that based on what that vision is. Now, if it's just a community that's autocratic to the point that they have an idea and there's no growth, then that community will have problems. It won't grow. But if a community doesn't have some standards, it's not a community and it's just headed for very, very soon destruction. See, Prabhupada, you know, created a house that everyone could live in. Sometimes we get confused by that. Because it's a house, and not a circus. It's a house where he gave the form, and he promised, he even gave us the paraphernalia to you know, put all the furniture and things together. He gave us a certain form. And with that, we're supposed to run with it and make our best. Now, if someone has an idea that doesn't fit into Prabhupada's house, it's not for us to be condescending or to be hostile, but that person should be in a house or build a house that's of their particular idea. It's one of the things about, you know, some devotees leaving this kind and they may go some other place. But we shouldn't be hostile toward them, but it's not proper for them to come and try to give some guidance about Prabhupada's house. But we should respect that they also could have a house. There can be all kind of interactions and things based on that, but the house should have its certain form. It's similar to taking medicines. Sometimes you take one type of medicine that's good for a certain cure. Other medicines also good for a certain cure. When you mix those, then you have a problem. Maybe get more sick. You get sicker. So you may try to take the course of you know, of allopathic medicine, you're taking herbs and this and that, or homeopathic stuff, and now you're going to try to mix that with allopathic. And even though both are medicines that can work, but when you put them together, you're not actually being chased either, so what happens is that you don't get any help. So we should think, well, this medicine is taken this way, and I'm going to become harmful with this medicine, let me go for it. This medicine is another way, so I'm going to do this one, and here, what I'm going to take, and then I'll be like that. So that can be a real situation. that one can even have something very powerful to offer. Somebody can have a very excellent idea about how to make, you know, wash machines. And they get to make a lot of money doing it. But somehow, that community has decided that they're going to make cookies. So, it's not something wrong. That community says, we don't see how this is going to work, or this is going to happen. Or we don't feel that you're bringing in manufacturing of washing machines is something that's going to be healthy for the environment. But at the same time, you shouldn't feel that person is irrelevant because they want to build washing machines. They just see that, yes, so now find a community where washing machines is the focus, and therefore operate on washing machines. See, part of, we bring up earlier, and this is so much of what we're talking about Vanashram Dharma, that if there's not organization, there's not clarity of conscious development, there's not clarity of protection, then whatever is established falls apart, whatever happens to you becomes mishmash, and you don't have a society. Whether you got Brahmins who are offering advice to see that the Siddhanta is kept in contact, whether you have Kshatriya who's helping to see that that administration is going on, that without such arrangements of protection, then you won't have anything. You just have good intentions. So, the Baba was sometimes kind of extreme. Sometimes he didn't even go to other places, other gatherings, didn't even have other people come and speak in other places. It wasn't that he was insecure, but he was protecting his mission. Protecting the Siddhanta of what Bhakti Siddhanta had given him, you know, to be able to do. Any other questions? That everything has been given in the material world. It's just a matter that it's humankind who is using what's using. That's why Prabhupada was down in the factories and down with exploitation in this way. Because it's abusing what Krishna has given. And the idea of the rural environment is that we can use and give back to Krishna and not abuse. We have more ability to control variables in our lives, so we can be less abusers and exploiters. One has to, you know, be more attuned to his, when he was mentioned in his class, he was mentioned in a wonderful class, and we missed it. He was explaining about Mother Cow, Mother Earth, explaining so much how we can appreciate and use these things and see everything belonging to Mother Earth. Whether it's the animal, whether it's the insects, whether it's the human species. How much a mother is sad. Mother seeing her siblings suffering, or being abused, or being exploited.
It seems like, as you were saying, the text says, there's certain things that are possibly applied to the other space culture and the other kind of cultures. Not that the other thing actually applies to the other culture, not really applied to the other thing. It seems that different areas around the world that people have absorbed more. Thank you.
even when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, every temple was a little different, every zone was a little different. Srila Prabhupada would comment sometimes how the different deities in different temples in different countries sort of took on the mood, you know, of that country. So that variegatedness is there. And you'll find that certain parts of the world, people may be a little more astute in one area than another. Like Prabhupada, no accident that he was so much into coming to the West and being able to use the assets of the West, the intelligence of the West, to spread the mission, you know, all around the world. It's not accident that, you know, Westerns are a little more managing the children these days, a little more passionate in certain ways, and so that can be used in devotional service. So there's always egocentric tendencies and whatnot, but the real issue is not to minimize the essence. There are certain essential things that's part of being a Vaishnava. And it's essential part of being a Vaishnava is being serving the servant, is being caring. It's actually, you know, we look at the 26 qualities of devotees. You know, and nowhere the 26 qualities does it say, a devotee, or as Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, always remain cynical and offer that to me. It is not a quality of an actual mission. There's certain things that are quality. Know what does Krishna say? You can be faithless, and somehow you will get my mercy. They say you can have stuff, but somehow you will get my mercy. Or you can realize I'm controlling sometimes, and that's okay. Other times you can think that maybe Shiva or Durga is controlling this, okay. Nobody says, I'll talk about it. Ken cannot be done, I believe so long ago. Everything is best for you. So there are certain things that just is not the way a Vaishnava is supposed to think. And we have to call it out on that, because from so much acculturation that comes into the Vaishnava culture, it pollutes it and it brings in materialism. It's like we may say, well, this seems a little bit excessive, you know, household is supposed to, you know, receive people. But this is a part of culture. Is that one should see it as part of their responsibility, try to see how from time to time to be able to accommodate. It's not like actually an option. If you don't have any, you know, like somebody else come to talk with you and give them some juice. It's a part of Vaishnava experience. It's like when I first started coming here, so many devotees invited me over. And I felt, oh, this is wonderful. This means that I'm accepted on some level, at least. Invite me over. So you invite somebody over, it's culture. It means you're saying, I honor your existence. When you invite somebody over, you don't give them something, they're saying, your existence. It doesn't, you know, if you don't invite them, you don't give them something. It's like you're telling them, I don't really want you. I'm just tolerating you. So you can leave anytime. In some places in the world, if you have somebody at your house, you don't offer them something to drink, or something to eat. They will leave realizing that you didn't want them. It'll be a clear signal that they imposed on you. And they shouldn't have come. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever comes into them, whatever goes on, you didn't offer them something. It'll be clear to them that you didn't want them. Or they'll realize that you just have, you know, no culture. But in most cases they'll think that, you know, you didn't actually want them. You didn't offer them any water. You know, they would. That you actually, you know, didn't want. But so much in our life of culture in the West, we don't think of this so many times. Somebody comes to visit us, and we don't even think about offering them, you know, something to drink. It's not the individual's fault, but the individual has experienced that kind of lifestyle, and so it becomes kind of spontaneous for them to think that way, that it's okay, it's not important, actually, in a new session. So, to answer that, to finalize that, with their variegatedness, that will always be there. Whether it's deity service, or whether you'll find different places, there may be a little different edges on the cookie, or according to also the mentality of a board, or the consciousness of the Brahmin, or the leader per se, because the Mohan Kamala Shatri kind of leader, that whatever situation is, that's going to influence what is the mentality of the, you know, of the Brahmin. Everything is personal. So the way that different personalities aggregate is going to create a certain type of environment. I mean, I'll give you an example here. A lot of little things happen that we may not think about. The other day, one of the Gurukula, one of the oldest Gurukula boys in our society now, or Dhinapala society, was Raghunath, so he came.